that just because we can. Praise God. It's good, it's comely to give praises unto God. And in a loose translation, that just means you look better when you're praising God. And for those of us who are truly ugly people, we ought to be praising fools. Praise God. I am so glad this morning to be in the house of God, to be handling the Word of God in a world that's more concerned about Paris Hilton than they are anything else right now. Can you spell delusion? Praise God. This morning we're going to work in Psalms 138. And we're making our way through the Psalms. So glad to have all of our visitors. Glad to have Brother Noe's daughter and friends and family and household. And praise God. Y'all just wave. From Texas? Yeah, from Houston. From the little city of Houston. Welcome to the big city. No, we're so glad to have you. And all of our guests and my, what a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Russia is dealing hardware and technology to Iran. And they are fulfilling the word of Ezekiel from almost 3,000 years ago. And this morning's headline is that Russia is putting together a financial aid package for North Korea. And they probably in that package are helping them with their nuke program also. And wow, what a wonderful day to live. All the belligerents are getting nuclear weapons. And Islamist jihadists are foaming at the mouth, and they want nothing more than to blow you up. They hate America. They hate Israel. They hate you this morning. What a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. That's pretty tepid response. I said, the end is near. Isn't it great to be in the kingdom of God? The prophet Baxter says he wouldn't be surprised if a third of the world's population died in the next 12 months. That's pretty sobering. But, you know, in the long run, it just doesn't matter. Drop the nuke right here on Red Mountain. Or better yet, drop it on Pinson. Praise God. It just really doesn't matter. When you're going to live forever, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Isn't it good to have Brother and Sister Butler in the house this morning? We love and appreciate them, and they are some of the finest people I have ever met in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is full of really neat and wonderful people, but they are just right up there in the very, very best of all that God has done in humanity. And don't you think so? And we are blessed to have friends like them. Psalms 138. And we'll begin with verse 1. We'll do verse 1 and 2, and probably won't get any further than that this morning and tonight. Would you say, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Praise God. Would you say that? Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. And let's give him praise and thanks for his word His word is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you for it, mighty God. We worship you for it. Praise God. No, no. That sounds like somebody just introduced the dog catcher or the local politician. Come on. Let's give him praise for the word of God that is forever settled in the heavens. Thank you for your word, oh God. I praise you for your word, mighty God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Brother Warren, have you talked to Sister Charlotte at all this week? See, Wednesday night while we were in that prayer time and we were talking in tongues and the Holy Ghost had fallen, I told Brother Warren, well, what was it, Sunday night? I guess it was Sunday night. I don't know. I lose track of time. It was Wednesday night. I said, Brother Warren, we need somebody to go down to the Thunder Inn and bring them down here to get the Holy Ghost. And I turned around and Brother Warren was gone. If you don't know, the Thunder Inn is a Harley bar right down here on Highway 11. And Brother Warren walked in the doors and said, turn down the music. And he invited them to church. And they said they would come. Well, what you didn't know is that Sister Charlotte has been impressed of God to drop in there. My God, new lifers are going into bar rooms here. Just when I thought we were having revival. And she's been in there twice in the last week. Last week and this week to invite them. And you didn't know we were dispatching angels and Brother Warren over there to go into the Thunder Inn. Well, I'm just telling you, there's a lot of interest there in the Holy Ghost. So, wouldn't surprise me at all if Thunder Inn came to New Life and got the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you. You know they want it. Anybody that's bellied up in an old dark bar room and drinking and singing, I got a tear in my beer, my God. Those guys are stuck in the 60s. They still think they're Easy Rider. They really need to get on up to Joel's bar and get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, verse 1 here, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. We're going to deal with that tonight. We're going to work on that tonight. Verse 2, I'm worshiping toward the holy temple. I'm praising your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. And the last clause here, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. I want us to work on that just a little bit this morning. He's magnified his word above his name. Praise God. It's a powerful, powerful idea. And this morning we want to look at both the name of God and the word of God. And we want to talk about it in terms of the ramifications here for us. Praise God. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 28 and verses 9 and 10 talks about or poses the question, to whom will God teach doctrine or knowledge or give understanding? And it says those that are weaned from the breast. And the word says he gives it like this, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. That's how God teaches. Well, that's how you teach too. You don't give first graders calculus and Shakespeare. You teach line on line, precept on precept, and you build ideas. And that's how God builds ideas and constructs, and how God delivers his plan, his ultimate plan to you. He's been building on it for thousands of years. And as you move through the scripture, you find that God has unleashed an unfolding of his identity or his character, and he reveals it in his name. Praise God. There are revealed names of God all through the scripture, and there are compound names of God that teach us the qualities and the nature and the characteristics of God by his name. Praise God. We find him first in Genesis chapter 1 as Elohim. And Elohim is a majestic plural. It is a word that is God, but it is so full of potential and power that it is a plural word, and it means simply that God is majesty beyond a single attribute, and he is God. He is Elohim. Everyone say Elohim. Everyone say Jehovah. Now, Jehovah is probably better rendered Yahweh, but it's so pervasively mixed into the discussion today, it's not worth trying to fix it. Because it really doesn't matter, unless you're a Jehovah's Witness. Because Jehovah is not a good translation nor a good transliteration. It's a late blooming attempt by someone to verbalize what was the unspeakable, the unpronounceable name of God, or the tetragrammaton. It was YHWH. You couldn't say it because they felt like it was too holy and too high to even speak. Later on, they tried to put vowels in it so that it could be spoken. It came out Jehovah. But here in these days, we understand probably it should have been Yahweh. But I'm not going to try to go back and revise the King James Version and all those that are carrying one today. It really doesn't matter. But he reveals himself as Jehovah, and he reveals himself as Yahweh, and it simply is the Eternal One. He's opening up himself and letting you know you're dealing with someone who's always been around and will always be around, and your mind can't even consider that. You run out of mind. You run out of gray matter before you get to the place of infinity, and when you get there, God's on beyond there. Wherever your mind and your spirit and your apprehension stops, God's out there, billions and billions of miles on beyond where you can think or consider. Somebody say, he's the Eternal One. He is. He's the Eternal One. When he took Abram and Isaac to the Mount of Sacrifice, he said, Abram, I want you to sacrifice your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. He took him to a mountain that God showed him of. And on that mountain, Abram was ready to sacrifice his son. But God stayed his hand. And on that mountain, God provided a ram and provided a messianic prophecy. He provided a ram for sacrifice that day. And he, by prophecy, said, God will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. That day the lamb didn't die, but coming later, in centuries later, the Christ would be the Lamb of God who would die for the sins of the world. And on that mountain, God is known as Jehovah Jireh, or God will provide, or in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I've got a word for you today. If you don't take the trip up the mountain of the Lord, you're not going to see what God has for you. There's some lazy people that want God to bring everything to them right where they are, but there's a calling in this house today. God's calling you to get out of your tent and get out of your little life and get out of your house of the familiar and come into a new place, a place that only God can show you, a place that only God can open up to you. Does anybody want to go? Jehovah Jireh means in the mount of God it shall be seen. Don't you worry about it while you're making your way up one side of the mountain with the burden of God's calling on your life and the wondering and the apprehension of what it will be like and if you can actually do what God has called you to do on the other side of the mountain. The answer's coming up. You can't see it. You can't touch it. But as you're coming up, it's coming up right now. Somebody's making their way up the mountain of God. I've come to tell you, don't worry, because the answer of God is coming up the other side. The provision of God. You go on and do what God told you. You go ahead and, oh, I feel Holy Ghost. You go ahead and do what God told you. Don't worry about the how. You do the what. You do what God told you. God will take care of the how. Everybody say Jehovah Jireh. He reveals himself as in the mountain of the Lord. It shall be seen. Exodus chapter 17. And he reveals himself as Jehovah Nisi. He's the banner over God's people. In Exodus chapter 3, he tells Moses, he says, Moses, if you've got to give them a name, just tell them, I am that I am. I am the self-determining one. There's nobody else that can say that. I am the self-sustaining one. There's nobody else can say that. Oh, you're sitting here in the strength of your arm and your craft and your trade skills and your knowledge and your money and your achievements. Let me tell you, your heart won't even beat unless God says yes. You can't breathe the next breath unless God says yes. But he says, I am that I am. He is the self-determining one, and there's nobody. We are finite. He is infinite. There is nobody. There's nobody like him. Praise God. Praise God. Judges chapter 6, he is Jehovah Shalom. He is God, our peace. Praise God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. There is a peace that passes all understanding. Praise God. In the middle of a storm, this Jesus sleeps in the bottom of the boat. And if you walk with him, you can sleep right through the middle of the very worst storm you'll ever have in your life. Not because you don't care, but because you know that he does care. Anybody in this house got peace in your life? And you know it came from the hand of God. Does anybody sleep well at night, but it always wasn't that way? Has anybody been able to put it off on the shoulders of a God who's bigger and wiser than you are? Praise God. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35, he's Jehovah Shammah. He is literally, that's literally a breast. That's the breast of God, but it is the provision of God. It's the nurturing power of God. God is a nurturing God, and he's not just a God that'll nurture you at a distance, but the vision there is, the analogy there, the typology is that he will bring you close to himself. He wants to bring you right up in the middle of his heartbeat and take care of you. He wants to be your sustainer. He wants to be your provider. He knows all about you. He knows about your sin, and he loves you anyway. And he doesn't want to push you away. He wants to draw you close. He's Jehovah Shammah. Jeremiah 23, he's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He's Jehovah our righteousness. Praise God. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nothing but sinners in this house today. Praise God. There's not a one of us that has power to be good or be right or to be saved. None of us have that power outside the covenant of God. Oh, but we know a secret today. We know a secret, and I don't mean to seem to be contradictory when I say there's not a one of us that's righteous, and there's nothing but sinners in the house, but we know a secret. We know a mystery, and I want all the righteous people in the house to stand up. Now, some of you are standing, and tentatively. Some of you are not standing because you think it's a trap. And some of you stood because everybody else stood. And you don't be left behind when God comes, but it doesn't work that way. You're not going to get lost in the crowd. You're not going to be saved because you're in a crowd. But you're standing because you know that there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, in the name, in the covenant of God. Praise God. We could do the same thing with holiness. We could say, let all the holy people stand. And you need to stand up because you are righteous by his sacrifice. And you're holy because he's imputed holiness to you. If you're not righteous, you can't be saved. If you're not holy, you can't be saved. Well, I thought you just said we couldn't be righteous. Well, you can't in your own strength. And you can't in your own power. You don't have the ability. But you can hide yourself under the robes of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can hide yourself under the blood of the Lamb. Oh, you ought to praise him for that. He wrote my name way up in glory. Praise God. When I walk in, they might want to throw me in hell, but Jesus is going to say, he's with me. Well, praise God. He said, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you like a mother hen would gather her chicks? Have you ever seen that? Talking about ermine and chickens and whatever else y'all did at camp. Have you ever seen a mother hen gather her chicks? When she ruffles out those feathers and squats down, you can't see them. It's just mother hen with 20 little feet. And if I do this thing right in God, you can't even see me. All you can see is Jesus. You might see my little feet, but I'm hidden. My life is hidden in Christ. Well, praise God. Praise God. You know, sin stinks. Sin stinks. Brother Warren stunk when he came out of the Thunder Inn the other night. All you did was walk in and walk out, and you stunk. Because it's in the atmosphere. It'll get all over you. We sing, I feel it in the atmosphere. But sin stinks. It's in the atmosphere. But before you entered into that Holy of Holies, God provided a sweet recipe of incense. And that smoke billowed up and fill the whole area. And when that priest went in, the stench of humanity never was smelled in that place. But the design, the plan of God covered up everything. The blood covers the sin. The incense covers the stench. We get under his robes of righteousness and we're made right. I'm glad tonight. Today he's Jehovah Sit Canu. I'm glad he's our righteousness. And over and on, God reveals himself by the progressive revelation of his word. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. If you're glad to know who he is today, clap your hands and lift your voice. I bless your name, oh God. I praise your name, mighty God. I thank you for the revelation of mighty God, the God of Abram and Isaac and Jacob. Praise God. But as we begin to move into the New Testament, we find that all of these names are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, Andrew, I need some help. Oh, you're not Andrew, you're Logan. You up to this, son? Got to be fast. John chapter 8 and verse 58. And Jesus lays claim to the claim of the burning bush, the theophany by which God spoke to Moses. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, before Abraham was, I am. The next verse said they took up stones to stone him because they heard him loud and clear. He wasn't claiming to be a mere man. He just laid claim to the title of the eternal God of Israel. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In John chapter 1 and verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. When did the creator of all things come to the world, and the world didn't know him? It was when he robed himself in flesh, and Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity and stepped on terra firma, and he began to do the business of the redemption plan of God in the world. Jesus Christ is the I am. Jesus Christ is the creator. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. He takes on the name of Joshua. The angel the word of God by the angel comes to Mary and Joseph and says, give him the name Jesus. The name Jesus from Greek to English is the same name as from the Hebrew to English of Joshua. Joshua is Jehovah has become salvation. Jesus is the Yeshua of the New Testament. God, come down for salvation. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Matthew 1:23, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. Jesus Christ is that Old Testament God stepping out into the New Testament to embrace a church full of Gentiles and to redeem the souls of men and women all over the world. Isaiah 9:6, his name is wonderful. Everybody say wonderful. Say counselor. Say the mighty God. This prophecy is about the little baby at Bethlehem. But Isaiah said he's going to be the mighty God. He's not just an ordinary baby. He's not just an ordinary offspring of man. But he is the mighty God. Singular, definite article. There's only one. And he's coming to a manger at Bethlehem. Everybody say the mighty God. Say the everlasting Father. My God, when that little baby Jesus was born, Emmanuel, God with us. The word of God by Isaiah 700 years before said, when he's born and when he's born and when he comes, he will be Emmanuel, God with us. He is the everlasting Father. That's who the shepherds were looking at in that manger. That's who the angels were singing about on the hillsides of Bethlehem. That's who the wise men, the magi from Babylon, came to see and bring gold and frankincense and myrrh. He is the everlasting Father. Praise God. Praise God. What a God. When he broke the bread and fish and fed the multitude, he didn't speak it. He demonstrated it. Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. Your provider. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. You eat of this bread, you'll never hunger again. You eat of this bread and you'll live forever. You eat of this bread, you'll never die. He said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll never die. Anybody in the house plan on never dying? Now, the cynic here, the skeptic here, will say, oh, well, we're going to come to their funeral and we're going to wave this in there under their nose that day because they're going to die like everybody else dies. Let me tell you what the word says. The word says, if you eat of his flesh and drink his blood, you'll never die. Now, if I quit breathing and my heart quits beating and they put me in the box here, would you please tell the cynic when he comes, he's not dead, he's just asleep. He's not dead, he's just asleep. And Reggie, if you kids put an inscription on my tombstone, I don't care about the name, I don't care about the age, I don't care about anything. Just say, watch this spot. Come on, what are your plans? That graveyard's going to get messed up. When that trumpet sounds, that graveyard is going to get torn up. Praise God. Come on. When he called Lazarus out of the tomb, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Praise God. At Calvary, he fulfills Jehovah Jireh. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Colossians 2:8-10. Don't let anybody spoil you through vain deceit and philosophy after the rudiments of the world, after the philosophies of men, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In that body was all of God. Don't ask me how he did it. I want you to know when he was an embryo, it was all of God. And you are complete in him. This Jesus is the fulfillment of all that God has ever been. Well, praise God. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. And by doing so, you'll give thanks unto God. You'll give glory unto God the Father. Because that Jesus was God the Father on the earth in the body of a man. Everybody say, whatever you find to do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you pray for your babies, do it in the name of Jesus. If you bless the food, do it in the name of Jesus. If you call on God for help, do it in the name of Jesus. If you put somebody down in the water, do it in the name of Jesus. Everything, 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 do it in the name of Jesus. Used to love to pick up Brother Billy Cole and come here for revival, because he would say, I mean, just out of the blue, we're riding along and I'm calm and I'm expecting revival, and he would say, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, we're just riding down the road. We come in the, it changes everything. If you show up all by yourself, that's one thing. You bring whatever you bring. But if you come in the name of Jesus, he said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they'll speak in new tongues. He said, they'll tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. Give your neighbor a high five and tell them there's power in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Come on, shake somebody and tell them the name of Jesus is all of the compound names of God rolled into one. He is everything God ever has been. When you call on that name, you're calling on the healer. When you call on that name, you're calling on the provider. When you call the name of Jesus, he's Shammah, he's Sidkenu, he's all, he's Shalom. He's everything God ever revealed about himself. Jesus! Jesus! Wow! Jesus! God! God! Jesus! My God! Whoa! Somebody just praise him in that name. You say you act like a fool. I am a fool. I don't care what you think about me. Jesus. They infuriated the Pharisees. They came to that man at the gate, beautiful Jimmy. He'd been there about 40 years. They came to the man at gate, beautiful. And he said, alms. And Peter and John, they said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. You say, well, he didn't get up. Well, I'm telling you about a story 2,000 years ago. But that story 2,000 years ago intrigues me for you. You hadn't been here but 20 years. Woo! Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Today. 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 And forever. Now, I don't know about you, but Jimmy believes he's going to get up out of that chair. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, lovely name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. My God. Well, that man at the gate, beautiful, got up and danced and ran and leaped and shouted. And I believe not all of us together are going to be able to hold Brother Jimmy down. We won't be able to have a decent service. I don't know how long it's going to take. He's going to run all the way to Hueytown. But it infuriated the Pharisees. And they charged them to stop preaching and teaching in that name. And they said, listen, all we can do is tell you what we've seen and heard. And I want you to know this. There is none other name, Acts 4 and 12, given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. There is no other saving name but the name of Jesus. Praise God. He is Jehovah, has become salvation. Praise God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Well, praise God. You people make too much of the name of Jesus. You can't make too much of the name of Jesus. You people emphasize too much the name of Jesus. You can't emphasize too much the name of Jesus. He is not part of God. He is all of God. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Everybody in the Bible was baptized in Jesus' name. You know what that means? That means he is the name of the Father. He is the name of the Son. He is the name of the Holy Ghost. Jesus gave a command in riddle form, and Peter obeyed the command. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. There is no Trinity. There's only one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord. He is one. All clap your hands and shout. If you ever shout about anything, you ought to shout about the name of Jesus. My God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus is all of this, and he is more. Now I'm going to throw a wrench out on the tracks. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. We know who that is. The good guys are coming. He's going to destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his appearing. Don't be afraid of the devil. He's just window dressing. He's a series of tests for you to make your way through here and prove that you are faithful to God. And if you want a place to turn around, he's there to provide you a turnaround spot. And if you want a place to sin, he's there to provide you the sin. And if you want to fail, he's there to give you a window of failure. But if you want to live for God, you stiff arm the devil, you can make it, you can live for God. Saw a white horse, the one that was on it's faithful and true. In righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. It's that continual, progressive revelation. The name of Jesus is the revelation of God for the time of the Gentiles. But this is not the end of all there is. There's going to be 1,000 years called a millennial after us. And men go on, and world goes on, and kingdom of God goes on. And the revelation of God in the next dispensation. He has a name that no man knows but he himself. But we know who he is. He's clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Oh, I know who that is. In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I know who that is. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses. That's us. Have you ridden lately? You better get in shape. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. He treads upon the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The whole world and every king is going to bow before him, but we in that moment will be following, traveling with him, because we've already bowed a knee. We've already proclaimed him sovereign and Lord of our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You don't believe Jesus is the last name of God? Oh, there is no end to the continuing revelation, the progressive revelation, because there is no end of God. Praise God. Praise God. And that is why in Psalms 138, the word of God declares that he has set his word above all his name. Because his name is progressive. And his name, if you would, changes because there's newness of revelation. But everything that's been revealed thus far is in the name that we deal with in revelatory power right now. So anything you've ever seen God be or do, he is that by the name of Jesus. But there's coming another name. But the psalmist said, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Because the word was spoken, and it's forever established in the heavens. And his word never changes. It's always the same. You follow this? You all right with this? You understand this? Not trying to pull a razzle-dazzle on you here. I'm just telling you, we love the name of Jesus. Powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. But there's more coming. It's just like if you were the high priest and you got to go into the Holy of Holies and the Shekinah presence of God was there, and the pure gold of the mercy seat and the cherubs with their wings touching and that bowl of manna that would not go bad no matter how long it stayed there. The preserving power of the presence of God. And Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of stone that came from Sinai. And here you are standing there in that Shekinah of God, where nobody could go but the high priest one time of year. And it was the most powerful moment, the most powerful place. But even in that, that wasn't the end of the revelatory progression of God, because the best was yet to come. Can you say praise the Lord? I want you to know that as wonderful and powerful as the revelation of the name of Jesus is, the next season, the next stage is going to be more wonderful, because the name of Jesus is going to be housed in that. Can you get a hold of that? Can you? Some of you feel like it's irrelevant because you're going to already be dancing on streets of gold by the time the millennial gets cranked up. So y'all be careful down there. We're done. Praise God. But I want to talk to you in just a few moments here about his word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. In the book of Acts, the sons of Sceva come to a man that is a demoniac. And they say, by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And the demon's voice says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And you see, they knew the name. But they didn't have the name within the context of a word covenant. Can't just anybody, in this quasi-pseudo half-baked Christian world that we live in. Oh, they throw the name of Jesus around like nickels and dimes. Oh, anybody in any lifestyle, with any attitude, with any old life can call on the name of Jesus. Not so. Not so. That demon jumped on those men and tore them, and they left out bleeding and naked and wounded. Because just can't anybody capitalize on that name of Jesus. It's not a magic bullet for just anybody. Somebody say praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 7. Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, in thy name we've prophesied. In thy name we've done many mighty works. They say, Lord, we've cast out devils in your name. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Praise God. What's the problem here? The problem is they know something about the name, but they're out of context with the word of God. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. I want to tell you, his word is above his name. If you want to do business with his name, you've got to come by the door or by the process of the word of the living God. Praise God. I'm going to tell you today, you cannot bow your knee in an altar and invite Jesus into your heart and be saved. That never happens in the word of God. What happens in the word of God is you come to an altar and bow your knee and you say, forgive me, I'm a sinner, cleanse me of my sins. Or you repent, and then you go with the preacher up to the water and you go down in the water in Jesus' name according to the word of God. And then you lift up your hands and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost, who is Jesus coming in to your heart. That's how people got saved in the word of God. People today don't care about the word of God. I said people don't care about the word of God. Birmingham News, September 15th. Nashville. A debate has intensified over whether Southern Baptists should approve of speaking in tongues as an expression. Now, they believe in the name of Jesus. They don't know who he is. They don't baptize in his name. They have a controversy as to whether or not they should approve of speaking in tongues as an expression of religious devotion. Following a sermon at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, the Reverend Dwight McKissick said in an August 26 sermon during chapel services that he experienced a private prayer language while he was a student at the seminary. And McKissick, a seminary trustee and pastor of Cornerstone Baptist in Arlington, Texas, said he disagreed with a decision last year by the Southern Baptist Convention panel to ban missionaries from speaking in tongues in private and in public. Now, they don't have the guts to tell their congregations that, but they hold the purse strings on those missionaries, and they said, I forbid you to talk in tongues in private, much less in public. They passed that as a resolution in the Southern Baptist Convention. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said, forbid not to speak in tongues. But they don't care about the word of God. But they think they can handle the name of Jesus and that it will have some power for their lives. But if you set aside the word of God, you set aside the power of the name of God. All that God wants to do in your life, all that God wants to reveal to you, God wants to heal you, God wants to provide for you, God wants to keep you, God wants to give you peace, God wants to be with you all along the way, but you've got to come by the word of the living God. He's put his word above all his name. Well, praise God. What we do here Wednesday night, the preacher said, oh, just talk in tongues. His text was, Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, I thank God I speak in tongues more. Let's talk in tongues. Why don't we do that right now? Everybody with the Holy Ghost, just lift your hands and begin to talk in tongues. If you're a visitor, we're glad you're here, but we're going to just exercise the Holy Ghost here this morning. Oh, come on, talk in tongues with authority. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Logan, give me Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 6, Logan. I'm going to start right there. This modernist quasi-Christian church has edited the Word of God. The pulpits are silent, and the nation is sliding into gross immorality and hopeless spiritual perversion and delusion. And children are not safe to ride their bikes on the street, and you can't leave a door unlocked, and women are not safe, and homosexuality is rampant. And God, it's a wonder if God doesn't rain down fire and brimstone on this nation before the Chinese do. And it's not the bar room, and it's not the crack house, and Hollywood's not the problem. The problem is that the pulpits have shut the Word of God. I feel Holy Ghost all over this house. And I don't mind calling names. You say, well, you ought not name the name of churches. Let me tell you something. When the Episcopalian church says that it's all right to be a homosexual, it's all right for me to name the name of the Episcopalian church. And once they open the door and say it's all right that you can be saved as a homosexual, now they are ordaining homosexual priests. And they just ordained a homosexual bishop. And the leader of that said, just because we are in disagreement with the Word of God, he said the Bible. He didn't dignify it with the Word of God, because he's probably a seminary graduate and he probably does not believe that that is the inerrant Word of God. Which is just lunacy multiplied by a million, because the whole idea of Christianity and his whole legitimacy comes from the Word of God. He said, just because we don't agree with the Bible doesn't mean that we are wrong. Now, this is a serious, deep pockets, big bucks, long established Protestant church, and it is a bellwether for the day we're living in. Next, they'll be ordaining Wiccans and devil worshipers and drinking blood. You say, oh, they'll never do that. Son, it is not more outrageous than ordaining homosexuals. It will not be long that I'll be getting a call from somebody in a government office. There's coming a day where we won't be able to preach this word this way, this openly, in these United States, because I'll be charged with a hate crime. But while I can, We don't hate anybody. We're just reading from the Word of God today. Let me show you. 7 and 6 of Mark. Are we there? Yeah. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We love Jesus. Oh, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is Lord. But you can't say that without being rooted in the Word of God. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 7. Howbeit in vain, it is useless, it is empty. There is no strength or value in it. In vain do they worship me. They are worshiping the God of Abram and Isaac and Jacob, but they're trying to worship him outside the Word of God. And he said, it's vain. You can't come to God any old way. You can't come to God your own way. You can't just call on the name of Jesus just because you feel like you want to be saved. You have to come by the Word of God. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside, the NIV says, you nicely set aside the word of God. For laying aside the commandment of God. Let's stand together. You hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Praise God. Well, I have the name of Jesus. Well, listen to me. He said his name. He said his word above all his name. You can't get what the name of Jesus brings to humanity outside the word of God. You can't serve him outside the word of God. Oh, me and Jesus got our own thing going. There's no other thing. He said, I am the way, there's only one. The truth, the life, he's the door into the sheepfold. He said, if any man come any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Praise God. Well, how do I know how to come to him? You just come to him just like they did in the book, just like they did in the book of Acts. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You've got to go down in that water in Jesus' name because nobody was baptized any other way. You've got to receive the Holy Ghost, and when you do, you'll speak in tongues. Just like they did in the book of Acts, just like Amanda did here on Wednesday night. Have you talked in tongues since then? Yes, I'm still talking in tongues. You talk in tongues every day. Every time you walk in these doors, talk in tongues. Do the laundry. You're a dental technician, right? When you're working on people's mouths, just talk in tongues. Because they can't talk anyway. They're like, praise God. If you'd like to come to God by the word of God today, I want you to come down to this altar right now. If you'd like for the name of Jesus to really begin to move in your life, come down to this altar today. If you'd like to just come and reaffirm your faith and your love for that name that is above every name, you come on down. Hallelujah. Why don't we just all come? Come on. If somebody's standing by you and they need the Holy Ghost, just bring them down. Show them how to pray. Show them how to get the Holy Ghost. If you first step up on the steps there. Come on up. Hallelujah. Because he first loved me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love how I love it. No name above that name. I love your name, oh God.
I love Jesus.
Hallelujah. To me, he's so wonderful.
To me,
oh, somebody love him, somebody praise him. Praise God. I want you to get with one person right there by you. Lay your hands on them. And I want you to begin to pray for them in the name of Jesus. Pray down glory on their life. Pray down anointing on them. Blessing on them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ah, you can receive the Holy Ghost right here in this altar. Praise God. Let's give him praise all over this altar. Let's just love him. Praise the Lord. Wednesday night, while we were all talking in tongues, the scales were listening in on the internet, and they just joined in with us and began to talk in tongues. And little Jordan, she began to talk in tongues for the very first time. They're taking her back and getting her ready to be baptized right now. She's going to go down in the water in Jesus' name. Praise God. God bless you. If you want to stay, celebrate in this baptismal service, be sure to strengthen and bless those around you before you leave. Today is the last day to reserve a room at the Sheraton for ARC. And in order to receive the conference rate for Alabama Revival Conference, you need to get a hold of Sister Pam if you need any information on that. But just call down and tell them you want the ARC rate if you're planning on staying at the Sheraton for Alabama Revival Conference. This is the cutoff date for that special, special rate. God bless you. Choir at 5:15. We'll have prayer at 6 o'clock. We'll have an apostolic service tonight. And good to see you smiling face in the house of the Lord. Whoa, we had the Holy Ghost fall in the 11, 13-year-old Sunday school class. Yay. Praise God. God's pouring out the Holy Ghost.